To be or not to be, that is the real estate question. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Welcome to the latest post covering finance and property news with a distinctively Australian flavour. Today I'm joined again by Edwin Almeida, our property insider. Hi, Edwin.
G'day, Martin. Looks like we're going to be very Shakespearean and poetic today.
And yeah, sure... I think that's right. And with good reason, because there are some big questions around, aren't there?
There are a lot of questions, but as I've been saying all along, and you and I have discussed it for almost 12 months now, that the industry is going to go through a lot of pain. Pain has just begun. The big guns have come out. REA and Domain have come out with and published their figures. Jennifer Duke has been on the ball with regard to the with what's happening with the share price, and also the actual, because they are publicly listed companies, the performance. It's been a drop of close to 10%. And that has a huge impact, or it's a reflection of what my industry is going through.
Yeah, it's very interesting because, of course, the REA CEO came out first and basically said he's never seen it so bad, although he did then say, and it's getting better and home prices are beginning to recover. And then Domain came out and basically said, yeah, we've had a really bad time, volumes are way down. And, I mean, they've got a few other things, irons in the fire in terms of some of their other business elements. But nevertheless, both of them were underscoring, I think, two things. One is very low transaction volumes. And two, whilst there is potentially a recovery, I didn't find them that convincing, either of them, in terms of just how much of the recovery there really is and how it's really going to translate to momentum. They're both volume players, right? So the more transaction volumes, the more clicks, the better they like it. And it looks to me as though it's pretty slow at the moment.
Yeah, and as we said, it's transaction averages. And like I've said before, you know, five people are in an elevator going up a building, and between them the average net worth of each individual is $1 million on average. Then in walks in Warren Buffett. Now what's the average net worth? And that's what's happening with property. Very low transactions, and most of the transactions that are occurring are in the top end. And the reason why people are jumping in on the top end is because, let's not forget that the top end dropped 30, 35, 37% in some cases. So people are jumping in and buying what they think it's a bargain, one. And on the other side of the coin, we've also got the HK phenomenon, the Hong Kong phenomenon, where expats and people from Hong Kong are bringing the money over and parking it. And they have the desirable addresses. So they're going to do well. But I put up some tweets with regard to Kirrawee. There are properties that got bought in a couple of years ago or actually a year ago for, you know, $1,350,000, and now it's back on the market at $1,100,000 to $1,200,000. Go in there and offer them $950,000 in cash, preferably not in an LD bag and preferably not in cash. And if you do it in cash, make sure it's before 2020. And you'll be able to get it for $950,000, perhaps even lower. I mean, that's the question that we're asking: to be or not to be. Where are the real estate prices going to go? Or what? Better still, what is the information, or what is going to be the data that is going to be passed on to the general public? We know what's happening on the back end. The other side of the coin to this is, as I've been saying all along, the pain that my industry is going through is excruciating. A lot of offices are going, tapping into they can't tap into the principal place of residences anymore in order to prop up the businesses. Transactions are very low. The people are going are suffering. Some agents haven't had a listing in the last 3 to 6 months. They haven't had a sale in the last 3 to 6 months. Generally, property management makes up for anywhere between 45% and 60% of the overheads of an office, and the rest is relying on sales transactions. Now, when you've got sales transactions across New South Wales dropping down from almost 3,500 to 1,200 on average per week, and there's 53,000 real estate agents or 8,700 offices in New South Wales, well, do the math. On average, we calculated, I think we did the math last time, and we calculated that real estate agents on average, again, on average, not everybody, but on average, they're bringing in $360 a week once you break all the commissions down, once you bring it all down to averages. Now, I've done the math on that. $360 a week, that's what the selling agents are relying on, or the offices are awaiting for their agents to bring in based on transaction volumes, because they are very, very low. Again, flip the coin again, and you've got the state government. What's how much pain are they going through when there's no stamp duty revenue, and the people that are not settling with the off-the-plan sales, they're already starting to ask for the stamp duty that they paid in advance of settlements, because when you buy something off the plan and it's going to take longer than 3 months, stamp duty is payable on or before the 3 month period. Now there's a lot of law firms that I've been talking to that they're starting to ask the question, when are my clients going to get the stamp duty back? So there's a lot of pain.
I mean, it's wherever you look, isn't it? But what I'm interested in, Edwin, is the evolution of the real estate industry. So, my sense is we're not going to see a massive rebound in transaction volumes over the next 12, 18 months or 2 years, right? The things have fundamentally changed from where they were 2 or 3 years ago. And what that then suggests is that the structure of the industry is going to have to evolve, and it's going to have to evolve quite quickly. And I wonder to what extent you think that's going to be evolving around those big property portals and the role that they're going to play go forward.
Yeah, well, one of the things that Lindsay David and Philip Sousa brought out, it was a graph that that maps out the transaction volumes over the last decade or so, and they've noted, LF Economics have noted that in 2015 was the highest, that was the peak of actual transaction volumes. So from 2015 to now, there's almost been an attrition of about, off the top of my head, something like 57% attrition in terms of transaction volumes that are going through and getting lower. I've been tracking the number, the volumes with regard to the Sydney region, and that hasn't really topped further than 18,000. This time last year, we were tracking something like 27,000 properties listed for sale, and that's when there was still a little bit of activity. So what's going to happen with all that, and what's going to happen with the industry is straight out. I wrote an article 4 years ago, and I could see what was starting to evolve because of the mass amount of people that were coming into the industry and the pie in terms of the commission pie that was afforded to the people working as selling agents in the real estate industry was getting smaller and smaller, or the pieces that everybody was taking was getting smaller and smaller. We're talking roughly around over the last 5-6 years, we're talking about revenues of $16 billion worth of commissions, when the portals have been making revenues collectively of $2.4 billion worth of commissions. Now, when you look at that, the portals have, we've talked about it in 2018, Martin, and that is that the portals are looking at our industry and they're saying, hold on a minute, these bastards are using our portals to list the properties. The buyers are using our portals to look for properties in order to purchase. So, in effect, why should they get the $15 billion in commission and we only get 2.4? So, with what's happening of late, I think it's a trigger to fast-track what I've said for almost 2 years now, and that is that the portals, domain and real estate, we're going to launch, I believe, and I'm a greater believer now than what I was before, that the property portals will launch a model similar to the Purple Bricks model, where they use real estate agents as consultants to go and do the consultancy work on their behalf in order to bring business in. So in effect, the REA and Domain could well and truly become the two major and dominant real estate agencies with respect to marketing property. Now that's not hard to do at all. It's not hard to do, and it's feasible. I mean, we've got a small player, which is an offshoot of Domain, are actively now, to an extent, people that have got a big stake in Domain or Fairfax in those companies, and now launched a real estate model. similar to the Purple Bricks model, and they're sort of testing. Are they testing it? Is Domain's way of testing it? So that's my gut feel. I feel a lot stronger about that than what I ever did. And if they needed a if they needed a reason to go harder and go quicker into that model, now's the time because of the transaction, the lower transaction volume or the lower sales volumes that they're achieving. And yeah, look, and at the end of the day, they're publicly listed company, so they've got to make a revenue for the shareholders. So I think, look, it's watch this space. I don't see anything else happening in other than that, Martin.
Right. So let's just sort of tease that out a bit, Edwin. So effectively, the value chain at the moment is you've got the the real estate agents, perhaps working for themselves or as part of one of the franchises, right? But they will then list on the various portal sites. That they will effectively then go through the process of hopefully selling the property, and once the property is sold, they'll get the commission, and they'll probably put some information back up to REA, for example, to be able to actually maintain that virtuous circle. But effectively, the value share is that those real estate agents are getting the bulk of it. Now, what you're saying, I think, is that, well, hang on, that doesn't have to be like that, right? Because essentially, if those portals are now where all the eyeballs are, that's where effectively people will come if they want to sell a property, and therefore the real estate agent effectively just becomes a consultant to that property portal to provide a bit of advice, and information, and valuation, what have you.
That's right. It's going to be a fee for service. We are going to be working for directly for Domain or real estate effectively as fee for service. So if you want to. They'll call the local agent. So we've got somebody who wants to sell the property. Can you go and sign it up? You go and sign it up. So you're effectively working under their model. Let's also take into consideration that next year is also the industry changes in terms of the nature or the licensing aspect of the industry, where it's going, it's demanded now that every agent working in the industry is got to move into a license arrangement. So if you're not going to be moving as a fully licensed agent, well, you're going to be ousted out of the industry. So there's a huge cleanup with regard to the industry from many different sides. But I can't see the portals not looking at the $15 billion a year revenue, be it national, and considering the fact that they're only making, or they say to themselves, well, we're only making 2.4 with what we pay as agents, what we pay in order to advertise the properties on there, and they're saying, hold on, they think to themselves that they're doing most of the work, or they've done most of the work. So we've created two beasts that are effectively now going to devour us in one way or another. Is it a good thing? Is it a bad thing? It's yet to be proven. But again, Martin, they're already doing it with mortgages. So why can't they do it with the real estate transaction? It's really using me as a licensed real estate agent. Go out on a fee for service. I'll go out. They'll pay me $500 to sign somebody up. If the person wants me to do open houses, I'll get paid on either an hourly rate, or I'll get paid on a fee for service. To do likewise, and there'll be a split of commission. So we're in effect, what the splits are, I don't know, but I have a guess they're going to want a big chunk of it. But again, as I say, is it a good thing or is it a bad thing?
Well, it's certainly a change, and I guess the other point there is that the commission structure, is relatively generous relative to what we've seen in some other countries. And so going back to the Purple Bricks, right, which effectively was a different economic model around real estate, right? But this actually opens the door then for that as well, doesn't it? But potentially you could end up with a completely different structure in terms of the house sale transaction.
Yeah, look, over the years, from the early 2000s, let's say from the early 2000 to 2008, the average commission was 3% plus GST. Then from around about 2008 to 2015, there was a drop to average commissions around 2%, and then from 15 onwards, we've now on average the commissions are around 1.7%. Now, when you look at when you look at it retrospectively, you look at the value of homes. A home in, let's say, you know, out west in the early 2000s, you know, out around the Mount Druitt area was $220,000, $240,000 at 3%. You know, there's your, you know, $6,000-$7,000 commission. Now the same, you know, then they went up in value to around 500 and so, and then the commissions dropped to 2%. Although the commissions dropped to 2%, the agents were still walking away with a bit more. And then, and so all these things take into effect. So I guess what, although we're getting less by way of percentages, It seems like we're getting less, but in actual fact, when you break it all down, we're getting more on we're getting more by way of dollars because of the values of the properties. Then you've got these insane developers that are being offering, as I said, upwards of 8%, 10% commissions, and now I've been reading in some posts some developers are offering 13% commissions on the sale of the plan apartments. Quite frankly. Take that off the price, reduce it by another 10%, and the local agents may be interested in selling it because they're overpriced as it is. But to get an offering of 13%, it's insane. So this is there's a lot that needs to be cleaned up, and it will be cleaned up by the sheer fact of what we're going through. In this process and the evolution of how the real estate market's going. Now, are they going to bring in a fixed fee model? I don't think that Domain and Real Estate, if they do go down that path, they will bring a fixed fee model because it'll be too hard to manage. I think it'll be more of a fee for service. So like a lawyer, like I've said, like I posted in Property Observer many years ago, there needs to be a change. I think it was 6 or 7 years ago I posted an article on Property Observer with regards to the need for the industry to change from a commission-based model to a fixed fee model. It does two things. It enables the agent to earn money as they do the work. One, it enables the vendor to get better, I believe, better value for the money that they're paying out. And also, if it takes longer to sell a property, well, if it's a fee for service, like I said, for attending open for inspections and whatever else, well, the agents are getting paid along the way. But that in itself, it was going to clean up the industry. So I think it's going to be, more along those lines as opposed to a fixed price at a reduced price.
Mm. Well, very interesting, Edwin. And I guess the final thing to say on this is that the use of online and digital as part of the buying process is now pretty much cemented in, isn't it? Most people will use the online tools and use the online portals as part of that search process. So in a way, the platforms and technology is already there and enabled. And this is now, if you like, a natural evolution of the industry.
Yeah, you've got all sorts of things. I mean, there'll be more legislation that'll come in around the way properties are presented online with regards to the photos. Now we've got there are certain regulations around the depiction of properties when we're marketing. You can't Photoshop trees in front of homes or telegraph poles or electrical substations or whatever it may be. But there's nothing around using wide angle lenses or colouring in dirty riverbeds or the likes of Parramatta River from green brown to pristine blue. Maybe if you drop in billions of gallons of chlorine, you might do something about it. But other than that, you just use Photoshop's really cool. But with people taking more advantage of the fact that video gives you a bit better coverage, and people appreciate the fact that they can see things a little bit better through video and all that. And it's very difficult to obviously edit video to the point of enhance what's in or what's not in the property. But people appreciate that, and I've always found that by having a video, it people are very appreciative because then they can, it's easy for them to make a decision whether or not they're going to come to the open for inspection. They can see things a little bit more true to life, as opposed to your typical photos with a fisheye lens or the wide angle lens that, that people use. Interestingly, in I believe South Africa, I think it's illegal to use a under their legislation to market a property to use a wide angle lens. They've got to use a straight lens. But yeah, things like that, they'll evolve and they'll change because of the nature of where we are. The virtual tours, you can, there's all sorts of things. And if people were able to buy properties before without even setting foot on them in the past, more so now with all the technology that's available.
Yeah, well, I think you're right. There's going to be an ongoing evolution. I'm waiting for the 3D walkthroughs and all of those things. They'll be there. Before we close out, I just need to ask you one other thing, and that is, Edwin, you know, what's your perspective from where you're seeing property prices, right? Because, you know, some of the indices have been sort of very, very up recently. What's your perspective on what you're seeing on the ground?
Again, look, You've got to, as I've said to a lot of friends and family members and the like, and people that I've spoken to online, and that is that you really compare apples with apples. I mean, I just sold a property at Wetherill Park for $980,000, a three-bedroom, one-car garage, and yeah, it's a three-bedroom, but it was almost on an 800 square meter block of land. All the other three-bedroom, one bathroom, one car garage properties around there are selling in the mid sevens. But when you start comparing apples with apples, you sort of think, oh my God, that's $230,000 above what everybody else has got. But hold on a minute, the block of land was almost 800 square meters. The other blocks of land are typically 600 or 550, 570, 580, 600, 620 at best. This was fully renovated from front to back, all the way, pool, cabana, all the bells and whistles. It even had a pizza oven, for goodness sakes. That's got to be worth at least $20,000, particularly if the vendor, commits to, coming around every month and making free pizzas for the new occupier. I don't know, whatever it takes to sell the bloody thing. But so you've got to start comparing. So what I am noticing is that people that are spending the money and are spending top dollar are spending it on properties that they don't need to necessarily do any further renovations to it. Because one, we know for sure from my discussions with Sporty and all the other mortgage brokers that I deal with, the banks will lend you to purchase a property, be it a little bit above what they would otherwise have lent before, but they're obviously not going to lend you above that soon after you purchase the property draw down another $50,000 to $100,000 to do renovation. So those properties are selling, and they're selling quickly. But as I said, when you start comparing apples with apples, the market in Wetherill Park, we're still around the mid 2015 mark for a three bed one bath. Now, CoreLogic under the hedonic daily index. They'll take the sale once it's registered with a value of general at 980, and they'll start telling the rest of the world and the media and the mainstream and all the other spruikers that Wetherill Park's gone up in value in the last 6 months by at least 15%. But it's not. It's the fact that this is a fully renovated home with a 10 meter by 5 meter pool, cabana, pizza oven. Don't forget pizza oven. And all the bells and whistles that you could think of. So, but they generalize everything. And I think that's happening in a lot of suburbs other than your hot market areas, which are where the Asian population want to live in, which is, which are your Carlingford, Epping, Eastwood, Chatswood, Northern, the North Shore, closer to the, to the inner west, to the city, because of the HK effect. Phenomenon that's occurring now. So, but again, but the volumes are so low that and they still haven't told us how they really work on this hedonic daily index indicator and all this. I don't even think that the people that came up with it know how it really works. But that's just me. So, you know, it's just one of those things that, you know, that we'll see how it plays out. I don't believe that the market has gone up as much as it has. But then again, you've got two things that I feel that have played out. One is we're getting a false narrative with regard to the property values going up based on low volume transactions and averages. But also, we didn't get the full story on how much properties really dropped from before as well, Martin. As you and I, we've been pegging it out for almost 18 months, 2 years, and you know, some places we saw drops of 27, 35, 37%. And in the West as well, we got up to, I think it was 26-27% of real values on market, and this was where there were a lot of transactions. You could see it almost on a weekly basis how the values were dropping, and it was almost like seeing a race to the bottom. But how long is this party going to continue? How long is it going to go when you look at the retail industry are in a lot of strife? You look at the car industry in a lot of strife. You look at my industry that's about to implode because of the fact that there's no volume, there aren't transactions for the say 16,000 real estate selling agents that are predominantly based in Sydney that are earning $360 a week. I mean, how long is that going to go on for before their own properties are going to be put on the market for sale? That's a real pain that's coming. That's about to smack us in the face in 2020.
Yeah, and you see, it's very interesting, Edwin, because sometimes people say, well, you know, DFA should just speak to talking about home prices, and I say, yeah, but you can't talk about home prices absent from the context of the more broad economic issues that are going on at the moment. And as you say, there are a whole bunch of negative indicators. And that's one of the reasons it's so connected, right? So part of the reason why we've got low transaction volumes is that household confidence is relatively low. And whilst the banks are lending a little bit more than perhaps they were, they're not lending as much as they used to. All of those things are connected. And then the final point that you've underscored again, which I absolutely agree with, you can't take these averages and rely on them. You've actually got to go into granularity. You've got to look at individual properties, individual locations, and these averages are totally misleading, and it just continues with the propaganda story about what's going on rather than real life, and real life is nothing like the story.
Yeah, that's right. And look, I as much as I've butted heads with Nera Connersby from the REA, but what she said in the interview with yourself and in the interview with Switzer was spot on. That was it. Now, where's Nerida? You know, it's almost like, you know, we should come up with a cartoon like, you know, where's Wally? Now we've got to start come up with a cartoon and start saying, you know, where's Nerida? Try to locate the poor girl. I mean, we're prepared to do a GoFundMe page if she continues to drop truth bombs as to what's really happening with the market. You know, we're happy to start a GoFundMe page to support her as she looks for another job. Because we need the truth. The truth needs to come out. And besides that, if we don't get the truth out there, and if the truth keeps on being suppressed, I mean, what's Uppercut Adams going to do? He's going to go crazy. He's not going to have anything to talk about. There's no conspiracies going on. And where is Uppercut? I haven't seen him on Twitter. I haven't seen him anywhere the last week or two. What's going on?
Oh, I think he's doing some deep research. Watch this space. Edwin, look, I really appreciate your time today, and thank you very much for your insights as always. Always good value and good fun. And we'll keep tracking over the next few weeks and months and see what happens to this amazing property sector. But as you say, there are a bunch of open questions at the moment, aren't there? To be or not to be? That is indeed the question.
That is indeed the real estate question. And always a pleasure, Martin. And I hope our viewers enjoy it. And here's to 2020. And if we don't do another video before Christmas, I hope all our followers and have a great break and a safe one. Stay safe.
Thanks, Edwin. Talk to you again soon. Martin North, Digital Finance Analytics. Thanks for watching, and I'll see you next time.